The Word of God warns us against deception. The Word of God calls us to test the spirits. But how exactly do we do that?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. I am sitting here in my hotel room in India as I was last night as I did the broadcast. And as you're listening to this message, I should be en route to the United States back home, somewhere in the midst of about 30-something hours of travel. So if you think of it, or just take a moment now, just pray for grace, pray I'll be able to sleep well and to rest well and to get some constructive work done along the way. You know, and sometimes just reading the Word or putting on some worship music, I've really encountered the Lord in flight as well. That means I'm not taking your calls today, but I do need to give you a very important update. The interview that I spoke of yesterday, in fact, we spent the entire broadcast yesterday fielding questions for you about this interview. The interview I was scheduled to have with Pastor John MacArthur this Thursday will not be happening. Now, I posted an entire blog explaining what transpired. I'm not blaming Pastor MacArthur. There was no intentional miscommunication on his part. But I posted an entire blog because of some conspiratorial theories and other things going around. I don't know what else to call it. You can read that by going to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. And you can read in detail what happened. In short, the publicist from Thomas Nelson Publishers, the one that sent me an advanced copy of the Strange Fire book a couple of months ago, contacted me while I was in India on Friday, December 5th, and said, would you still like to have Pastor MacArthur on the air? Here are some available dates. So it appeared to me as if he was taking 2 days and doing some media interviews on those days. And I said, sure, that would be wonderful. This day would work. It was going to be a Thursday, which is normally our Thirdly Jewish Thursday broadcast. But I thought, hey, this is important, and I know your listeners would love to hear it. So I said, yes, we can do this particular day. Please make clear that I have some profound differences with Pastor MacArthur, and I'll approach things with humility and respect and with a heart for unity. Now, I wrote that thinking she's probably just booking interviews for him. I want to remind her as to who I am, the differences that I do have, make sure it gets to him, and probably he'll veto it when he sees it. That was just my assumption. Again, no, not blaming him for doing that. Well, anyway, I said, let's lock this in. And then she wrote back and said, okay, here's what's going to work, and consider it confirmed. So that was Friday. I still didn't announce things. I waited till Monday just to be sure. And again, I've got the details, the actual quotes from all the emails in my blog, and then I respond to some silly accusations that are in there as well and misunderstandings. But at the end of my show, at the end of the second hour yesterday, I saw some tweets that were coming in from someone that I consider to be reliable. I'd have been on his radio show, a pastor in Houston, and he was tweeting Phil Johnson, Mr. Johnson, who's John MacArthur's right-hand man, and said, what about this interview? He said, I don't know anything about it. He contacted John MacArthur. John MacArthur said, I don't know anything about it, and I have no interest in being on the show. So we immediately, Matt, my producer back in the States, immediately called the publicist. She took full responsibility, but she said that she had it confirmed from people at John MacArthur's, and that's why she conveyed it back to us. Then we got another report when we followed up yet again. She said, well, the media approval thing changed, and one person approved and another not, so there was some miscommunication. The bottom line is, Pastor MacArthur did not say he would do it and then change his mind. He simply didn't know about it. The publicist was booking for him, but we work with publicists for publishers and ministries all the time. And when they confirm something, if anyone confirms something with me, someone in my staff confirms it with me, that means it came to me and I said, yes, I'll be on that show. Somehow that didn't happen. When he did hear about it, he said, no thanks. So the interview will not be happening, but it's led to some constructive discussion. So please go to my blog, askdrbrown.org. Click on the latest blog to read that. Also, click on the latest video. It's the entire webcast from our second ever Cessationist Calling Day. First webcast we've ever done in terms of video recording the entire show. All right, we'll be right back.
want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
With every new move of God, it's essential to test, is this really of God or not? It purports to be a move of God, is it? How do we know it's the flesh? How do we know it's the devil? How do we know it's the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible gives us guidelines, and we want to explore those guidelines today here on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. And again, thanks for your prayers. With the tremendous amount of travel I've done over a two-week period, and right now in the midst of about 30 hours travel back to the States, I'm just blessed and amazed by the amount of grace that's been on me, by how well I've done with the time changes and virtually no jet lag and a constant ministry schedule and healthy in the midst of it. So please pray that will be sustained on this last part when I get back home. Thank you. So I am actually speaking to you from India right now, but by the time you hear this broadcast, I will be in the midst of about 30-something hours of the final travel home. So again, thank you for praying, and thanks for your financial support through these trips. The end of the year, it means so much to us. I deeply appreciate it. On behalf of our whole team, thank you. If you missed the information that the interview with Pastor MacArthur will not be happening on Thursday, please go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and read the latest blog. In Pastor MacArthur's Strange Fire book, he has two whole chapters devoted to the question of testing the spirits. And he follows the famous guidelines formulated by Jonathan Edwards back in 1741 in his book, The Distinguishing Marks of a Work of the Spirit of God. It was written during the Great Awakening. There were critics of the Great Awakening. Anytime there's a revival, anytime there's a move of God, there's going to be criticism. I have often said you can have controversy without revival, but you cannot have revival without controversy. Now, please let me be clear. Just because something's controversial doesn't mean it's from God. As I said, you can have controversy without revival. But if God is going to move, it's the pattern through the Word, it's the pattern through church history, there will be controversy. And the controversy itself does not disqualify the work. The fact that it's controversial, the fact that it's new, the fact that it's different doesn't disqualify it, nor does that prove it's real. So in the midst of the Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards, in his Distinguishing Marks of a Work of the Spirit of God, developed ways to test and evaluate whether the work was of the Spirit or not. I agree with the guidelines of Edwards. I do not agree, with all respect, to Pastor MacArthur's conclusions based on those guidelines. In my book, Authentic Fire, which should be available online for ebook purchase as I'm traveling back from India, as soon as we see it, note it, we'll post it on Facebook and let you know, and it'll go out in an e-blast, but be checking on Amazon and the other places where you get your ebooks. And the books are, right now, should be en route from the printer to our offices, the physical books to send out. But I've got a full chapter in the book called Testing the Spirits, excuse me, Another Look at the Evidence. Let me first give you the simple summary, all right? There is a moral test and there is a creedal test. The moral test says, what effect on the lives of people is this message having? What effect on their morality? What effect on their conduct? What effect on their lifestyle? That's the moral test. The creedal test is, how does this line up with foundational scriptural doctrine? What are people believing, and what is this movement producing in terms of what people are believing? The moral test and the creedal test. Now, one thing that happened in the Great Awakening, and is common in revival movements, is that the work of the Spirit stirs things up. And there can be intense and unusual physical and emotional responses to the Spirit's work, like weeping, or crying out, or shaking, are falling into trances. Well, this can be a little disruptive or alarming. It can be unsettling. Is it all the work of the Holy Spirit? Is it demonic? Is it simply emotionalism? Is it a genuine response to what the Spirit is doing? Well, here's what Jonathan Edwards wrote, which has often been misunderstood, even though it's pretty straightforward. He gave 9 non-signs, saying that you cannot say this proves the work is not from God based on these 9 signs. Now, it's a minor error that Pastor MacArthur makes, but he refers to them as false positives. In other words, these signs by themselves are not positive proofs. It's better to look at them as false negatives. Do you follow? In other words, if you see these things happen, you know the work is not of God. He says, no, that's not the case. Now, I'm quite familiar with these, and let me tell you why. Because I've been passionate for revival and awakening for many, many years, because that's something that's burned in my heart for many, many years, I've studied revival for many, many years. Before I was involved in a move of God myself, where revival came to a local church on Long Island in the early 80s, I was interested in revival. After that, I became passionately interested in revival and read extensively books on revival history, books on controversy in revival, many of the works of Jonathan Edwards. No, I do not mean all of the works of Jonathan Edwards, but some of his most profound writings relative to revival. I read those with great interest. And what I understood, what he wrote, seemed very, very straightforward. And in my book, which is now Time for Holy Fire, Preparing the Way for Divine Visitation, that book came out in 1995, March of 95, and I had a whole chapter where I went through the 9 non-signs of Edwards and then the 5 positive signs, where he says if a work is truly of the Lord, it will be manifest in this way, this way, this way, this way, and this way. If you see these 5 things, you know for sure the work is of the Lord. It was straightforward and self-evident to me. But when Brownsville Revival broke, a man that is a friend of mine and a colleague now, but we did not have a personal relationship back then, Hank Hanegraaff, Hank took issue with these things, and he had a very different approach. In his Counterfeit Revival book, he looked at these 9 signs as negative signs, meaning if these things happen, the work is surely not of God. So I took issue with Hank over that. And in the current edition of Counterfeit Revival, again, Hank's a colleague and a friend. We simply had differences over these issues. In an appendix to his Counterfeit Revival book, the second edition, he criticized my treatment of the Jonathan Edwards material and quoted someone who was critical. Well, in point of fact, there's really no controversy over this. And I didn't want to mention names then, because I didn't want to draw them into the controversy that was swirling at the point. But I actually spoke to some of the foremost Jonathan Edwards scholars in America. I cite them by name on Authentic Fire. If you want all the details, they're there. 2 of them are now professors at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. One is at Yale University. One is one of the foremost church historians in America. 2 are experts in Jonathan Edwards. 1 is one of the most foremost Edwards authorities in the nation. And I spoke with them directly. And I said, here's my understanding of Edwards here. Is there any controversy over this? Am I missing anything? They said, oh, no. It's straightforward. So, in other words, my friend Hank actually misused that material. I would say that Pastor MacArthur does not misuse that, but he comes to wrong conclusions based on wrong evidence. So let me explain the 9 non-signs. Number 1, Edwards says, nothing can be certainly concluded from this. In other words, this is not a false positive, but a false negative. Nothing can certainly be concluded from this that a work is carried on in a way very unusual and extraordinary, provided the variety or difference be such as may still be comprehended within the limits of Scripture rules. What was Edwards saying? Because something is new or unusual or seems to be extraordinary in the way it's carried out, that does not mean it's not from God. You can't say, well, we've never done it like that before. you know, the joke, the seven last words of the church, we never did it like this before. Edwards is saying, well, no, you can't say it's not from God because it's new and different. The question is, can it still be comprehended within the limits of scripture rules? You say, oh, there he says it. If it's not in the Bible, you don't follow it. No, that's not what he said. In fact, he said something very different. He said, the Bible never told us to judge by shaking or falling or the rapid beating of the heart or tears. He said, no, that would mean that we were to be looking at physical things. We're to be looking at spiritual things. What he means by scriptural rules is the guidelines that God's Word has given us. And that's where people misunderstand things. How does the Bible tell us to test? It doesn't tell us to test by whether someone shouts or falls or shakes or is silent. Those are not the tests. Okay, we're just getting started. Stay with me.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to this special broadcast on The Line of Fire, where we're talking about how to test the Spirit. Something claims to be a move of God, a movement claims to be from above. It's different, it's unusual. How do we evaluate? Well, we certainly don't evaluate whether it's what we're used to, because what we're used to could be limited, or what we're used to could be wrong. We have other ways to evaluate. That's what we're talking about on The Line of Fire. I'm not taking calls today. If you missed the announcement that the interview with Pastor MacArthur that was scheduled, we were told it was scheduled for Thursday of this week. It will not happen. There was some miscommunication between the publicist and Pastor MacArthur's ministry. We were misinformed. But I give you all the details because the internet is buzzing with speculation about this too. We give you all the details on my blog. So go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on the latest blog. Let me continue in Jonathan Edwards' 9 non-signs. Pastor MacArthur has it slightly wrong when he calls them false positives. They are false negatives, meaning, well, I've never seen this before. It can't be God. Jonathan Edwards says, no, not necessarily. He says that a work is carried on in a way very unusual and extraordinary, that you can't conclude anything from that, provided the variety or difference be such as may still be comprehended within the limits of Scripture rules. And as Edwards makes plain, Scripture rules do not include the effects on the body. In other words, Scripture rules do not tell the pastor or the leader, okay, now watch. Are the pupils getting bigger? Smaller. Is the person shaking? Are they sweating? Are they crying? No. That doesn't prove anything in and of itself, and Scripture doesn't tell us that that's how we test. Number two, Edward said a work is not to be judged by any effects on the bodies of men. Here he makes it more explicit. Such as tears, trembling, groans, loud outcries, agonies of body, or the failing of bodily strength. People say that, nah, that can't be God. There's no possible way that's God. God wouldn't do that. You're not under control. Fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Why did that person collapse? Why are they crying out? Well, the fruit of the Spirit being self-control means moral discipline. It doesn't mean that you don't cry out when you're under conviction of sin. It doesn't mean that you don't jump and shout and rejoice in the Lord when you're responding to His goodness. But when Daniel was overcome, when the angel appeared to him, or John, when Jesus appeared to him, and they collapsed like dead people, well, that can't be God because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Obviously, it doesn't mean that. So Edward said, well, you can't be judging that. You can't say, well, it can't be God because that person fell or shook. No, Scripture doesn't tell us to judge on that. Number three, again, these are false negatives. Edwards says it is no argument that an operation on the minds of people is not the work of the Spirit of God, that it occasions a great deal of noise about religion. Just because there's a lot of controversy surrounding it, everybody's talking about it, and, oh, you heard this, I don't know about that, doesn't mean it's not God. Number four, Edwards said it is no argument that an operation on the minds of a people is not the work of the Spirit of God, that many who are the subjects of it have great impressions made on their imaginations. Edward said that persons have many impressions on their imaginations does not prove that they have nothing else. And Edward said, hey, in fact, God can use the imagination for his divine purposes. Number five, it's no sign that the work is not from the Spirit of God. That example is a great means of it. In other words, you could say, well, people are just doing that because they see others doing it, but that doesn't mean it's not God. And sometimes example can be positive. Now look at what Edward said. This is mind-boggling. Because Pastor MacArthur and his colleagues have concluded that the charismatic movement is not of God, that his words, it's a fraud and deception from the start, and my esteemed brother has called for collective war against charismatics and people that they would call sound charismatics. In other words, sound believers who are charismatic, they would say that's despite us being charismatic and we're in the tiny, tiny, tiny minority. Look at what Edward says. It is no sign that a work is not from the Spirit of God that many who seem to be the subjects of it are guilty of great imprudences and irregularities in their conduct. He even said, if we see great imprudences and even sinful irregularities in some who are great instruments to carry on the work, it will not prove it not to be the work of God. In other words, Edwards recognized that even in a true move of God, you can have people who mess up. And even in a true move of God, you can have people who fall into error. And even in a true move of God, you can have people who are engaging in sinful behavior. It does not disqualify the whole. Now, you might say, ah, but the charismatic movement, that's all there is sinful irregularities. Well, we'll examine that. That would be fair to conclude that if that were the case. But we'll examine that. Number seven, look at this. Edward says, nor are many errors in judgment. Remember, he's writing in The Great Awakening, where everything was not just a quiet, cozy revival. Nor many errors in judgment, some delusions of Satan intermixed with the work, any argument that the work in general is not of the Spirit of God. Wow. Then number eight, if some who were thought to be wrought upon fall away into gross errors or scandalous practices, it is no argument that the work in general is not the work of the Spirit of God. What if some do backslide? What if some do fall away? Hasn't that happened through church history? Number nine, it is no argument that a work is not from the Spirit of God, that it seems to be promoted by ministers insisting very much on the terrors of God's holy law, and that with a great deal of pathos and earnestness. It's the exact opposite of what we have today. In Edward's day, the ministers were preaching so much on hell and judgment and the fire that was going to fall on sinners, and preaching with such earnestness that people say, ah, you're just working them up. It's just emotional. That can't be really from God. Edward said, no, you can't come to that conclusion based on that. Today, would God that we'd hear more about judgment. Would God that we'd hear more about final judgment. Would to God that we would hear more about these truths that are so absent from the body today. All right, if you miss any of this broadcast, go to my website. Just a couple hours after the show, it should be archived. That's when it is every day. Go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and just click on latest audio, and you'll be able to listen to the entire broadcast as we get into the positive signs as well. The Authentic Fire book is out, should be out in ebook any day. The print copies are on their way to our offices, 420 pages from the day of beginning writing to the day of publication, 7 weeks or less. That's publishing history for us, and we're grateful to God for it. Here's how to get your copy of the print version. Your gift of any size, your end time tax deductible gift of any size, I want to send you as my gift this 420 page book with postage. It's about a $25 value, but I'm serious. Your end time tax deductible gift of any size will send this book out as a thank you to you. I know for some of you, just a little bit is everything you have, and I know for some you have an abundance and it's easy to give more. One helps the other. We want to send the book to everyone. But we're just asking to pray. Perhaps the Lord would have you so generously into our work at the end of this year. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org, click donate. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. We can test the work by the Spirit and by the Word.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So how do we evaluate a work of God? How do we test the Spirit? 1 John 4 tells us to test the Spirit. Jesus tells us to examine the fruit in Matthew 7. How do we do it on a practical basis? I'm not taking your calls today. I am speaking to you from Mumbai, India, but by the time you listen to this, I should be somewhere in the midst of about 30 hours of travel back to the States. So thank you in advance for your prayers. Look, there are so many of you listening to this broadcast. If each of you just prayed a three-second prayer, that would amount to a whole lot of hours, and I'd be very, very grateful. Just pray for grace on traveling back, strength and health. So get back fully in the saddle, and even on the trips back along with rest, I can have some productive writing time as well. Thank you in advance. Before we get into the five positive signs given by Jonathan Edwards as to how to evaluate a work of the Spirit, let's just talk common sense for a little while, all right? Jesus says in John 3 that flesh gives birth to flesh and spirit gives birth to spirit, correct? And Jesus says in John 6, flesh meaning human earthly effort, the physical realm alone profits nothing, spiritually speaking. So the flesh cannot produce new birth. We can try, we can push, we can argue, we can debate, we can manipulate, but we cannot produce new birth in someone's life in our natural power or efforts. And in the same way, Jesus teaches in Matthew 12 in parallel passages that Satan cannot cast out Satan. Now, Satan can do counterfeit works, for sure. He can perform counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. But what they will result in is a counterfeit work. They will not result in genuine disciples. They will not result in lovers of Jesus. They will not result in students of the Word that are true to the Word. They will not result in people living holy lives. That will not happen. Common sense, right? So if someone is miraculously healed, and as a result of being miraculously healed, when someone laid hands on them in Jesus' name, they turn away from their Hinduism. They renounce their idols. They become lifelong students of the Scripture. They become devoted to the Jesus of the Scriptures. They begin to win other lost people to the Lord. And they die as solid, godly believers. Well, Satan didn't do that. And the flesh can't do that. That has to be the Spirit. If somebody has some encounter, you're talking to them, and next thing their eyes roll back in their head, and they fall on the ground, and they begin to shake, and foam comes pouring out of their mouths. They're getting delivered from demons. What's happening? And then they say, I had a revelation. I saw a vision. I saw that I myself am God, and that I am king, and that you are the devil. Well, that wasn't from the Lord. That wasn't from the Lord. But if that exact same thing happened, the person's eyes rolled back, they fell on the ground, junk started coming out of their mouths, and as you're telling them about Jesus, and they said, why, demons were leaving me. I've been oppressed. I've been suicidal for months. I've had these dark images for months. Everything just left as you were speaking about Jesus. I believe he's real. I want to follow him. I want to be a disciple. It's the devil who's been trying to destroy me. I see it now. I want to follow Jesus. And you open up the Word and you explain the Scriptures to them and say, yes, yes, I believe. I want to follow him. Well, that was the Spirit. But the thing itself, the act itself, you couldn't judge by that. Oh, obviously it wasn't the Holy Spirit blessing that person in that way. But was it a demonic manifestation in their lives? Was it demons leaving them? We see by the fruit that comes out of it. Now we're going to come back and get into Edwards' five positive signs.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I know there are many other things you could be doing. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your many kind words about the importance of the broadcast to you. Trust me, it is of ultimate importance to us to make these broadcasts quality in a way that will minister to each of you in a lasting way. Thanks for tuning in. If you did not hear the update that Pastor MacArthur will not be joining me this Thursday, please read my latest blog at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, for the information on that. Also, when I did my last cessationist call-in day, we videotaped the entire broadcast. And you can actually watch, this is just from a side angle, you can watch the entire show on YouTube. You can hear the calls, you can watch me. Sometimes I'm getting at the computer, looking at some verses or doing things like that. You can watch from the side angle, and let us know if you enjoy this. So that's on the latest video at AskDrBrown.org. So during the Great Awakening, there was a lot of controversy about the unusual things that were happening in the Great Awakening. There was a lot of emotion. Jonathan Edwards' wife, Sarah, would sometimes go into trances for hours and hours at a time. People would cry out and scream in meetings. They'd lose bodily strength. Charles Chauncey, who was a chief critic of the revival, rejected it, one reason being the emotional displays. And Jonathan Edwards was quick to say the emotional displays are logical, based on the Holy Spirit moving on people or people becoming undone or convicted of sin or overwhelmed with the presence or joy of the Lord. They're logical, but they don't disqualify the work. You can't judge based on that. And yeah, there's going to be some bad fruit. There's going to be some chaff. But historian, church historian Conrad Cherry said that the difference between Edwards and Chauncey was that Edwards focused on the wheat and Chauncey focused on the chaff. My contention, with all respect to Pastor MacArthur and those in the Strange Fire camp, is that they've done the same thing. They focused on the chaff. They focused on the bad fruit within the charismatic movement. They focused on the worst extremes rather than focusing on the wonderful things the Holy Spirit is doing and then standing with us to help us fix the things that are wrong. So again, the simple summary of how we are to judge and test is moral, how are you living, and creedal, what do you believe? So let's look at the five positive signs of a genuine work of God. We can put them in the form of five questions. Again, Jonathan Edwards formulated this in his 1741 book, Distinguishing Marks of a Work of the Spirit of God. So here are the five signs. I'll give them all to you, and then we'll go through them one at a time. Again, we'll put them in the form of questions. Number one, does the work cause the Jesus of the Scriptures to be exalted? If so, Edwards said, it is a sure sign that it is from the Spirit of God. Now, I explain the Jesus of the Scriptures, because many people will say, all right, they're talking about Jesus, but which Jesus is it? Is it the Jesus that died to make you rich? Is it the Jesus that wasn't even divine on the earth? Is it the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons or the Muslims? So that's why I clarify, does the work cause the Jesus of the Scriptures to be exalted? If so, it's a sure sign and it's from the Spirit of God. Number two, does the work turn people against Satan's kingdom by turning their hearts away from sin and worldliness? If so, Edward says, this is a sure sign that it is a true and not a false spirit. Number three, does the work produce a greater love and esteem and honor for the Scriptures? If so, it is certainly the Spirit of God, Edward says. Number four, does the work lead people to the truth? If so, we may safely determine that it is a right and true spirit, Edward says. And five, does the work result in love to God and man? If so, it is a sure sign that it is a work of the Spirit of God. So let us now focus on the first test that Jonathan Edwards gives. The first question, does this move exalt the Jesus of the Scriptures? According to Pastor MacArthur in a Strange Fire book, the charismatic movement fails this test. You say, what? Yeah, he said it fails the test because, one, he alleges that charismatics exalt the Holy Spirit more than Jesus. Two, some Word of Faith teachers deny aspects of the deity of Jesus. And three, charismatics have a mixture of odd beliefs, including Catholic charismatics. Well, if you want to argue like that, you could say Reformed Christians exalt doctrine and sometimes even Calvin more than Jesus. The fact that some charismatic teachers might be in doctrinal error about Jesus is absolutely not an indictment of the countless thousands of charismatic teachers who are not in doctrinal error about him. And Protestants, even Reformed Protestants, have a mixture of odd beliefs, including Reconstructionism. Frank Viola, best-selling author Frank Viola, in his critique of Charismatic Chaos and Strange Fire, wrote this, and I'm going to quote it at length. He said, throughout his books, Pastor MacArthur continually uses the phrase, charismatics believe such and such, charismatics think such and such, and then the charismatic movement is guilty of XYZ. Frank Viola says this is simply false. It would be accurate to say some charismatics believe, or even many charismatics believe, or some in the charismatic movement believe. Using MacArthur's logic and approach, Frank Viola writes, one could easily write a book about the toxicity of the Reform movement, meaning Calvinists, by painting all Reformed Christians as elitist, sectarian, divisive, arrogant, exclusive, and in love with doctrine more than with Christ. And just as MacArthur holds up Benny Hinn, Todd Bentley, Pat Robertson, and others to characterize the charismatic world, one can hold up R.J. Rushdoony, Herman Dewey, R.T. Kendall, or Patrick Edward, and others to characterize Reformed Christians, or Peter Ruckman and Jack Hiles, and others to characterize Fundamentalist Baptists, or William R. Cruz and L.R. Shelton, and others to represent Reformed Baptists. My point is, this is again Frank Viola, that charismatic Reformed and Baptist people would strongly object to the idea that any of these gentlemen would accurately represent their respective tribes, as each of them have strong critics within their own movements. Even so, the game of burning down any straw man city with a torch is nothing new. What about this idea that we exalt the Holy Spirit more than Jesus? No. The fact of the matter is we see the Holy Spirit as exalting Jesus, and therefore we gladly participate with the Spirit's work. I want you to consider something carefully. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, when writing to the Corinthians, when I was with you, I was determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, and Him crucified. That's what he said, correct? Then he said, my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, lest your faith should stand in the wisdom of men, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Oh, his speech and preaching were in demonstration of the Spirit and power, and yet he said, I only preach Jesus and Him crucified. What's he saying? That to present Jesus and Him crucified properly, it cannot be with human words alone, but must be back with the Spirit's power. And he frequently referred to signs, wonders, and miracles as part of the backing of the Word of God. Was the book of Acts guilty of exalting the Holy Spirit more than Jesus? There are about 60 references to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Did that detract from Jesus or did it exalt Jesus? Yeah, there's some in the charismatic movement for sure that get caught up with external things or put more emphasis on the Spirit than on Jesus. But there's some Reformed Christians that put more emphasis on doctrine than on Jesus. And in each group, we can do it. You can put more emphasis on worship. You can put more emphasis on giving. You can put more emphasis on feeding the poor. The fact of the matter is, if you will talk to charismatic and Pentecostal believers and hear their testimony, you'll hear how Jesus saved them. You'll hear how Jesus transformed them. You'll hear how they love Jesus, and you'll hear how the things of the Spirit enhance their walk with Jesus. Yes, in fact, there are people with aberrant views in the movement. There are. Their exact numbers, God knows. But here's what you do. Go to the major Pentecostal denominations, like the Assemblies of God, the largest in the world, with about 66 or 67 million adherents around the world. Go to the major schools of ministry around the world, the Pentecostal Charismatic Bible Colleges. Look at their statement of faith and listen to the preaching, and you will see that in the vast majority of cases, it is the Jesus of the Scriptures who is being exalted by the moving of the Spirit. Therefore, the workers of God. Test one comes to the opposite results of what Pastor MacArthur alleges. I documented in detail in my Authentic Fire book. Back with more from India. Stay with me.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I can see by the clock that I am going to have to continue this subject on the next broadcast. Friends, as you're listening to the show, just lift up a prayer for me. I will be in the midst of about 30 hours of travel back from Mumbai, India, to my home in the States. So thank you for praying. Thank you for standing with me on this trip. Pastor MacArthur, in his Strange Fire book, devotes two whole chapters to the question of testing the spirits. I agree with the five criteria that he uses from Jonathan Edwards in terms of how to test if the work is truly from God. I believe the methodology is faulty, the data is wrongly used, and the conclusions are wrong. And I document that in some detail in my chapter, Testing the Spirits, Examining the Evidence Again. It's chapter 5 of my Authentic Fire book. If you want the ebook, be checking today, tomorrow. I believe within this 24-hour period, the ebook should be available in different formats, Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Nook. It'll be available for your iPad as well. So the title, Authentic Fire, a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. You'll find the book builds up rather than tears down. If you've not been following the Strange Fire controversy, you'll find the book very helpful, very edifying, full of scripture, full of fascinating quotes and anecdotes. If you have been following the controversy on either side of it, I think you'll find the book very, very helpful. And in the midst of my differences, I seek to write with respect and always with a call to unity. All right, let me try to get a little bit further as we talk about the ways to test the spirits. Again, in short, moral creedal. As a result of being involved in this work, as a result of being allegedly touched by the Spirit, as a result of sitting under a certain ministry, how are you living and what do you believe? The moral test and the creedal test. Before I go further with that, let me give you a great principle. My friend and colleague, Messianic Jewish scholar Stuart Dowerman, reminded me of this. I was familiar with the general concept, but boy, this was a great articulation of it. I'm indebted to Dr. Dowerman for pointing it out to me. He heard it from Dennis Prager, who learned it from his mentor, Yitz Greenberg. Are you ready? Don't compare the best things about your religion to the worst things about someone else's. Don't compare the best things about your religion to the worst things about someone else's. It's my contention, sadly, that the Strange Fire movement does this consistently. It looks at the worst elements of the charismatic movement and says, look at this, it's obviously not from God, it's a fraud, it's a deception. We must wage war against it for the honor of the Lord. And then if we point out all kinds of dead cessationist churches and bizarre doctrines and strange teachings and abuses by the thousand, because they're out there, there are enough cessationists out there to have thousands of abuses, we'll be told, no, that's not reflective of the whole. Let's use the same standard. Isn't that fair? Isn't that the way God would want us to be judged? Look at this. According to a Pew Research report, quote, the share of the population that is Christian in sub-Saharan Africa climbed from 9% in 1910 to 63% in 2010. I mean, this is one of the most remarkable transformations, perhaps the most remarkable, on a continental level, a large part of a continent, that's happened in church history. It's certainly one of the most profound. From 9% professing Christianity in 1910 in sub-Saharan Africa to 63% in 2010, the vast, vast majority of that is charismatic Pentecostal. Now, here's a fact. Because it has happened so quickly, because it has spread so fast, there's a lot of error with it. Also, in more recent years, the prosperity gospel, the carnal prosperity gospel, is infiltrating more and more and hurting more and more lives. We must stand against that together. But the good news is the Holy Spirit has worked mightily. The good news is people who were Muslims, people who were animists and involved in tribal religion are now following Jesus. I've met many of these converts. And just to speak of Africa in general, as this broadcast is going forth, our friends and colleagues in the nation of Cameroon are in the midst of launching a major national gospel campaign that could draw hundreds of thousands. One of our spiritual sons, a grad from our ministry school, will be preaching. What will he be preaching? Jesus and him crucified and him risen. What will he be calling for? Turn away from your idols, turn away from your false gods, and put your trust in Jesus alone to save you from your sin. And he will pray for the sick, and many sick will be healed. And he will come against demonic powers, and many people will be delivered. And who will be exalted when the meetings are over? Jesus. And in the midst of that, another one of our grads, another one of our spiritual sons, with a great heart for revival and a great heart for discipleship, he'll be announcing every night the launching of Fire School of Ministry in Cameroon. And we could well have hundreds of students enroll for the launch of the school next month as the facilities are being finished. Yes, this is how quickly everything is coming together. Of course, much, 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 much planning and much pouring into the lives of those involved for years before that. And I'll tell you this, I could almost guarantee you, you go over that school a year from now and you will find hundreds of African Christians burning bright for Jesus. You will find people who do not want to exalt a denomination or do not want to exalt a church group, but want to exalt the Son of God. Oh, friends, rejoice. It is the work of God. And let's recognize the good things he is doing and focus on that and thereby help deal with error. Great. I'm going to take this up on the next broadcast and get into some research data that you will be surprised to hear. How do you get authentic fire? This book, which is as much a surprise to me to write it as it is to get it out to you so quickly. The ebooks should be available online, so if you prefer to order like that, check for those immediately. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iPad, wherever else you order. But we, to our delightful surprise, we're told by the publisher they could print copies on demand for us. Those copies are literally on their way to our office now. You can get your copy by doing this. It's a 420-page book with postage. It's a $25 value. But for your year-end tax-deductible gift of any size, literally of any size, we want to send this to you. But I know some of you can be generous and help with a large gift. Some can be generous and help with a small gift. Do as you're able, but pray. Maybe the Lord will put it on your heart to really stand with us at the end of the year and to give us a real shot in the arm as we move forward into 2014. And if you value this broadcast, stand with us today. Right now, call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate. My bottom line today, the greatest sign that the Holy Spirit is at work is that people are drawn to the Jesus of the Scriptures and exalt him. When that happens, rejoice. That's from God.